blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
You don't know the rest of that song?
I know that it's greatest of the day.
Because I don't know it either.
Good morning to you. Good morning. I don't know. She's too happy about it being morning. And I, like, I watched that movie once very long ago. But good morning. It's another episode of this podcast. I don't know how else to introduce this. But just getting right to the chase. Cutting right to the chase. Today we're going to be talking about two movies about dogs and cats. No. Yeah, it is about. Yeah. No.
Well, right. Yeah, dogs, yeah.
Yeah, dogs. I'm right. And one cat. And those movies are Oliver and Company and A Goofy Movie. Woo! I'm so excited. Like, we're getting to that part where actually the movies are good. Like, the movies are those are good movies. No longer are we stuck in the time where we had to struggled through Dumbo and Bambi and Lady and the Tramp and, I guess, in a way, Peter Pan. No longer do we have to struggle through those movies. No longer do we have to sit there in agony while watching an hour and a half of these films. Now we can finally and fully enjoy what we are watching. At least I did.
Yeah, they're pretty good right now, so.
At least I enjoyed them.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed them thoroughly. Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
I enjoy the movies now, yeah. And what do you mean, in a way, Peter Pan? Peter Pan is awful.
Well, I mean, Hook and Smee are, like, the only joy that the movie gives me. They don't save the movie.
But
they don't save it, but they definitely make it watchable in a way.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
They definitely make it watchable in a way.
Yeah.
So, let's get right on it. Oliver and Company, a movie that I personally hold dear to my heart. I love Oliver and Company. I have watched it before, obviously. I love the music in it. Dodger is one of my favorite characters. He's so charismatic. He's so suave with everything that he does. That man's just, oh, I love him. And it's just great. I didn't realize this was a retelling of Oliver Twist. And I also, for some reason, I always thought Oliver was the name of the dog and not the name of the cat. But it's Dodger. It's a cat. The dog voiced by Billy Joel. Which, great voice. And it's a good movie. It's a good movie.
Yeah, I think that this movie doesn't really feel like a Disney movie to me. And I told you this. At the end, I think it feels like I'm watching an episode of Arthur. You know that show from PBS?
No.
About the aardvark?
But you said Cheers, and I knew what you meant.
Oh, no. Well, you brought up the idea that you thought it looked like Seinfeld at the beginning.
I thought it looked like a stereotypical New York show.
Like a sitcom.
Like, first I went Friends, but then I was like, let's bring it back before. I went Seinfeld. But you're right. It does feel more like Cheers.
Yeah.
Even though Cheers is not in New York.
Well, just the way that they had it, like, had the intro. Like, it's not an intro. You know what I'm saying? Like, the opening credits and everything. It was like, it kind of sounded like it was about to, like, about to just, like, go into the bar.
Yeah.
And, like, talk about Cheers and everything like that. So, but I felt like this.
Everywhere. No, yeah, that is Full
that's
House.
That's Full House. I think, which is set in San Francisco.
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Yeah, that one.
That's Cheers.
That's Cheers.
Hey, I did it.
I think it might have been the art style or something, but the way that it was.
And the music. The music definitely did something
music,
about it.
It's like so 80s, like early 90s. It's like. And I don't remember when this movie takes. Like, when does this movie come out? Like, the late 80s, probably?
1988.
88, okay. Yeah, it feels like that. Like, obviously, it's very heavily inspired by everything that was happening at the time. And you get that from this movie. Like, some movies, I think, are timeless. They don't really, you know, take the form of the decade or era that they were.
Because they're in fictional lands.
Yeah, but I think you could make this movie less 80s, I think. you know, with if you change the music style or the art style or anything like that. But obviously, that's what they were going for, and they, you know, it was good that they had a theme and they picked it, right? But again, I don't really think that this is a, doesn't feel like a Disney movie. I'd also like to say that not only had I had never seen Oliver and Company, I never heard of Oliver and Company.
That's upsetting.
Before this. I don't think I've ever heard of Oliver and Company. I had no idea what it was about or anything. So this was a totally new experience for me.
I love Oliver and Company. I think it's just I hold very dear to my heart the song. It's a good song.
Yeah, well, when you got Billy Joel.
When you got Billy Joel singing.
And I don't know if this is like the first Disney
movie.
Watch
what I worry.
I don't know if this is the first Disney movie where they started bringing in like artists and stuff. But yeah, it's you can see it. You hear it. Billy Joel is obviously very good. So the music is good in this, you know? I don't know if he had a part in writing the songs or anything either.
Why should I worry?
But they're very good. They're very,
why
very good.
Should I care?
That's definitely the thing that stands out the most in this movie, I think, is Billy the songs. Joel. Well, the songs.
The song. It's good songs.
Yeah.
I like them.
The songs are very good. Yeah.
But what other general thoughts? What thoughts do you have about this movie, Riley? Give them to me.
Let's see. The group itself, the group of dogs. So, like, this movie is about a cat that goes, like, a homeless little kitty.
Homeless kitty,
that
yeah.
finds itself named Oliver. It's not named Oliver at the beginning, but Oliver gets tied up with this group of dogs, right? We're living with this homeless man on a boat and in New York City. And I'd like to say a couple things about the group. Number one, Francis is my favorite. I like Francis the Bulldog.
Francis is funny.
He's a very melodramatic on purpose. Like, he sounds like he just does Shakespearean plays all the time.
Yes.
And it's very funny. And so he's my favorite. Number two, Tito. He's a lot. Like, he's pretty funny.
He is a lot to take in.
But he is a lot. Like, and he's very, like, he's that stereotypical, like, Mexican
chihuahua
right? So
if you're going to have a chihuahua anywhere, it's going to be a Mexican one,
well,
for
yeah.
some reason.
I mean, there's a whole, not county, I was going to say state in Mexico called Chihuahua. So, I mean, you better, if it's Chihuahua, it better be Mexican. and then, what's the girl's name again? Rita. The dog, Rita. You always got to have that one female in a group, right? Because I don't know, diversity or something, I don't know.
Yeah, you always just have to
for
have a girl.
Some reason there's always a girl. I feel like there should either be no girl or more girls in the group. I feel like having the one girl, because they did that in the last one that we watched too.
Yeah,
Fox and Island 2, Dixie's the only girl in the group. Well, Rose is, well, I guess that's true. All right, so they usually do it a lot, right? I don't know, I notice it a lot. But yeah, Rita is the one girl dog, and Georgette is too, but she's also not a part of
the gang.
She's
not part of the gang.
Yeah, she's not a part of the gang. So Oliver lives with this group, and the homeless man is being, like, I don't know, hunted down by the mob or something. There's this, I don't even remember what the guy's name is, but he's like a mob boss.
Yeah, he is a scary big dude.
Yeah, in a limo, obviously, and he's got two Dobermans that are, like, mean to the other dogs in the gang.
It's Miss Bill Sykes.
Yes, Mr. Sykes.
Mr. Sykes.
And when we talk about the gang, I don't mean, like, an actual, like, gang, like in New York in the 80s. I'm talking about, like, the gang, as in, like, the mystery gang. You know how, like, Scooby-Doo, they're called the mystery gang, but they're not actually a gang. They're just a bunch of white people and a dog. Yeah. And they're in, like, a RV.
Just a bunch of white people and one dog.
A bunch of white people and a dog. That's what they are. There's no... So yeah. They're diverse, you know? It's like a blonde man and a, you know...
I get what you mean, Shaggy.
All right. But yeah.
You do look like Shaggy.
I think I'm taller than Shaggy.
You're definitely taller, but you look a lot like Shaggy. How did that just hit me? You would play great Shaggy in one of those live-action Scooby-Doo shits.
Hopefully they're not making any more of those, to
but
be
if
honest.
They do, they could, you could get a job out of that.
I think I'm still too tall to be Shaggy, but maybe. I don't know. I think I've really screwed myself over genetically in trying to be an actor, but also being 6'7". I think that doesn't help a lot.
Yeah, but I think so too. But again, it opens a whole, like, it gives the opportunity that I'd like to say not a lot of people have. If they ever do a live-action Nightmare Before Christmas,
I'll play Jack Skellington.
You got it, buddy. You got it in the bag.
Yeah, it's either me or Bill Skarsgård, so.
Yeah.
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 But Mr. Sykes is this scary mob boss.
You have to compete against Bill Skarsgård?
Yeah, Bill Skarsgård and, like...
Never mind, you don't have it in the bag.
No, he's the number one. Like, if you're gonna think of, like, a
Jack Skellington... Never mind, you don't got it.
If you think of a Jack Skellington, Pennywise the Clown... Pennywise the Dancing Clown is gonna be Jack Skellington.
How tall is Bill Skarsgård?
He's like 6'5".
Oh, you don't have he's it. He's tall. I'm so sorry.
He's tall, he's skinny.
You have no job.
And he's spooky, man. He's
you
a
will have
man.
No job.
I'll have a better audition. Even though they probably handpick him, I'll get it.
You have to shave bald.
I don't care. I'll wear a bald cap. I'll shave. No. Look, I don't give a shit, dude.
Okay. Good for you.
Yeah.
I like to know that you're willing to do anything for it.
Look, for a live-action Jack Skellington, and I remember before Christmas, absolutely I'll shave my head. I don't give a shit. I've done it before. But yeah, back onto the movie that we're talking about, not my professional career. Mr. Sykes, the scary mob boss, gives the homeless man and the dogs 3 days to get some amount of money to pay for something. We don't know.
Like, I mean,
his living arrangement, I guess.
The homeless man. I don't think he expects the dogs to also be putting in money for that.
No, but they are in that situation.
They do help.
Yeah.
What I will say about this, like, group of homeless people and dogs... They're so adorable. It's very heartfelt, like, the bond that they have with each other. Because, like, remember, it's right after that scene where he gives him the 3 days to pay off whatever debt he has with him. He goes back and he's, like, he's in shambles. He's having a mental breakdown in real time. He's not having it. He just keeps repeating, 3 days, 3 days, I have 3 days. And he won't get out of that. Like, his mind is only on that. He just sits down in his, like, it's like an airplane seat that he has. He just sits down there, still completely, like, loose in his mind. And all the dogs just, like, they take this. It's, like, it's funny because it also looks like this happens quite a lot. This is normal occurrence.
This is like
them.
A nightly routine. Like, he gets in his chair, they prop up his feet, and they turn on the lamp, and they do all this stuff for him.
They put his little slippers, they prop up his feet, they put down the chair, they give him a blanket, they give him one of the, like, dog biscuits for him to eat something.
Yeah.
And it's so cute. It's adorable.
Yeah, it's very sweet what they do. And then they read a bedtime story, and then they go to bed, right? It's very nice and heartfelt, and... Yeah, it really, you know, it shows you how this group isn't, you know, how this group is tied together, right?
Yeah.
They're not a bunch of random dogs. They're all, you know, looking
a
out
family.
For
family.
Yeah, they're family. I just think of Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
I think I compare this group to, like, the Fast and the Furious group, and Dodger is Vin Diesel, and he's like, we're family, basically. And after the first day, Oliver is like, well, what am I supposed to do? And then Tito's like, we're family, and we're blood, or whatever. You know, like, in the car with your hand on the 12, and you're like, family. Family.
Okay. You get it. They're family.
Well, they make a point of saying that. So...
But then, after a day, Oliver's part of the gang now. He's just... He just wanted... Because I think they do that because he's able to... He scratches the nose of one of the fucking raw...
Dobermans.
They're Dobermans?
I think so.
Yeah, they are Dobermans. Yeah, they're Dobermans. But he scratches the nose of one of the Dobermans that the mob boss owns.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, wow, this kid's got guts. He can do things or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's it, basically.
Yeah,
and
no, that's it.
He's now a part of the family, you know? He's he's in it. So, yeah. And then the next day they go out and try to get some money, right?
But
Oliver gets kidnapped, I guess. I don't know. I kind of feel like I don't remember everything that happens. How he ends up in the limo with Jenny, and I don't remember.
Don't remember either, but suddenly he's at a rich person's house. That's also when we get to meet,
Jenny.
Who?
Jenny.
Gonna say Georgette.
Oh, Georgette. Yeah, sure.
Georgette's more interesting than Jenny.
I like Jenny.
She's cute. You said she reminded you of
a Penny,
a not homeless.
Oh yeah, it's like the total opposite of Penny. Like they're in not the opposite, but they're in like alternate realities. Like one is an orphan who gets kidnapped, and the other one
just lives in a rich household,
and the other one lives in an apartment on Fifth Street with like four floors or something. So yeah,
it's like two floors.
I don't know. There's a lot of stairs. Like when Georgette is doing her number and she's like walking down the stairs, there's like a spiral staircase. It's like it goes down a long way. I don't know if there might just be two floors, but it's a big apartment.
It's a big apartment on Fifth Street in New York, which should tell you what you need to know about that.
Yeah, they're rich.
They're rich. But yeah, Oliver is up there. Jenny takes care of him because Jenny's a sad bitch. Maybe she's rich, maybe she's the good version, like, the better-off version of Penny, but that bitch has no friends.
Yeah, is just she like better Penny. Off? Penny, you know, got, like, orphan friends, probably, right?
They never show that. She said she had no friends.
Oh, really?
Penny had no friends. Wow. Her only friend was the cat.
Yeah, well, Penny and Jenny are in the same situation,
that regard. Both of these bitches got no friends.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, Penny, Jenny, they have similar names too.
Jenny.
Jenny, she takes Oliver in because he's a cute little cat, gives him the name Oliver. Georgette's jealous because she's like this rich bitch that won't be, she's a single child. She won't share her time and energy with another child suddenly. No, she's spoiled. She's the single spoiled child. I am an only child and I'm not spoiled. But I know some of them can be.
Yeah.
Don't make that face. I'm not spoiled. You know,
okay. Georgette is very spoiled. I grew up
in a third world country.
Georgette is very spoiled. And, yeah, no.
Don't you dare call me spoiled.
Well, I didn't say anything.
I grew up in a third world country.
I didn't
say. Most of my life has been spent without any of the luxuries that we've had.
Okay.
Call me spoiled? Me? Bitch. Me? Okay.
So Georgette is spoiled.
Georgette is very spoiled.
Yes, and she doesn't like Oliver at all. Oliver is eating out of her bowl and...
Whatever, who gives a shit? Then the boys, the family, comes in to rescue Oliver. Okay, how many days go by? It's like... They do this whole, like, time sequence where they make it seem like a bunch of days have gone by, but it has to be, like, a day and a half, because...
You mean, like, the montage with Jenny?
Yeah, the montage where she's, like, taking him to the park to row across, I don't know,
we're supposed to assume that that all happens in that day, because...
Yeah, it had to be really fast, because the other guy, the homeless guy, he still doesn't have his, like, rent due.
Yeah, and he only got 3 days to get it.
And he only had 3 days. But in this whole montage, they go to the park, they row a boat across the park. Well,
across the lake.
Across the lake in the park.
Across the park.
Across the lake in the park. She takes him to get, a gold collar. It's they do a lot of they play piano and sing a song together about like how Oliver's her only friend, and this montage really makes it seem like it's been a couple days.
Look, Jenny's efficient, all right? She gets things done, right? She practices piano, which is another good song, by the way. She practices piano, she rows a boat, you know, she does all the stuff, right?
Yeah, in a day and a half, or like half a day.
Half a day, probably.
Just like half a day.
Because then the family of dogs go to rescue Oliver.
The family of dogs bust in through the house, and that's when Tito really gets a kick out of Georgette. He really likes her.
Yeah, I don't really like that plot, to be honest.
Well, it's plot.
It's such a boring B plot, and not that interesting in my opinion. But it makes for a good laugh at the end.
It is a very funny part at the end. But, so... they bust in through save Oliver because they think, you know, he's been kidnapped. They don't realize he's actually better off than all of them together. So they just kidnap him. They bring him back, which Oliver gets kidnapped like twice in this movie. And both times when everything happens and he's out of the kidnap, he's like, what happened? It's like, are you never awake? Are you never... Open your eyes. Things are happening in front of you and you got no clue. Like, okay, so the... my thoughts are getting tangled.
Yeah, relax, man.
So they kidnap Oliver. They take him back to their house with a homeless man. His name is Fagin.
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 I would watch your pronunciation there.
His name is Fagin. And so they take him back, and Fagin is like, oh, there you are, little kitty cat. Because he likes Oliver. He misses Oliver. But then he notices his collar, and he's like, okay, holy shit, this says Fifth Street. This is how I'm going to get money back. So he writes a ransom note.
The way that he writes it is so funny. He's like, dear really rich cat owner person. It's so funny.
But he writes a ransom note, drops it off at Jenny's place. Jenny comes back from school. She realizes Oliver is not there. She sees the note. The note basically says, bring the money so I can give you your cat back. And with a badly drawn map of how to get from the house to the ship.
Dock, I guess.
Yeah, to the dock where he lives. And then, so, in the meantime, while that is happening with Jenny, Fagin is going to the rich man, Bob, a mob boss guy, and he's like, okay, this is my plan, this is how I'm gonna get your money, which is so stupid of him. He tells him straight up what he wants, and so the guy is like, I have a devious plan on my hands now. So he waits for Jenny to make it to the dog, which when Fagin sees Jenny, he's like, wait a minute, this is just a kid. Poor kid that just came with Georgette. Poor Georgette. She doesn't want
to
be here.
Which, by the way, why does Jenny has got some guts to go out in the 80s in New York City.
Jenny does not know the definition of stranger danger.
At night, she goes out. She doesn't even tell Winston, her butler person, because her parents aren't there, by the way. Her parents aren't there. Winston's taking care of her. She goes out at night with Georgette as the only person to, like, be with her. And she goes out and, like, takes his ransom note with her. She's crazy, man.
Takes a ransom note and takes her piggy bank.
Yeah, she takes her piggy bank.
They could steal that from her. But she takes her piggy bank, and then she, like, she's lost because, again, it's a barely poorly drawn map.
Yeah.
But she bumps into Fagin, and she's like, oh, I lost my cat, and I got this ransom note. And Fagin's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, Fagin isn't a bad guy.
He, like, really isn't. He's a very sweet guy.
He's got his back against the wall, yeah. And he's really desperate. And he didn't know that he was going to be stealing from a child.
Yeah.
Kidnapping a child. So he attempts to, like, give the cat back and tell Jenny to, like, get out of there. Right?
But Mr. Batman, with his devious plan all along, was to kidnap Jenny instead, because he knows that she is more worth it to a rich pair of people
than a cat
that just got into that home. So he kidnaps Jenny once again. Oliver's caught up in it, but he throws Oliver out the window of the car when he's driving off with Jenny, and Oliver's once again like, what happened? It's like, open your eyes, Oliver, everything's happening right in front of you, just open your eyes, be fucking aware of what's happening.
Oliver's oblivious.
He's so oblivious. He also has guts. Like, that motherfucker got guts.
He's just naive. He doesn't know. Like, one day he's gonna do that and he's gonna get hit or, like, hurt a lot. But right now, he's fearless.
Yeah, I agree. But, yeah. They kidnap Jenny and then they're all like, well, fuck, we gotta go get her back. So, oh, they also kidnap Georgette, don't they?
I don't think they do. No, they just kidnapped Jenny.
No, they kidnapped Georgette too.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
I don't think they do.
Yes, they do.
Do you want to play it back? Because I don't think they do.
We ran it back. Georgette is not kidnapped along with Jenny.
Yeah.
She's not. She is. Yep. Riley wins this one. You win. You win this one.
I could win a lot more, but I just give up on most of them. Nope. This one, I was like, I know Georgia didn't.
You win this one. Okay.
Okay, so Jenny's kidnapped. The dogs and Fagin go to save her. Right?
Yeah, and they do, so that's it.
And they do, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's, like, I remember everything that happens, but there's nothing really that notable.
There is something notable. So they save her, and then they're in, like, this chase scene where, like, Fagin and all the dogs are in his, like, busted, like, scooter.
Little scooter thing.
Thing with, like, a... troll, I don't know.
Like, isn't it like a grocery cart with wheels and a motor?
Yeah. And he's on that with all the dogs behind him. And then the guy's chasing him behind. And they're on, like, train tracks?
Yeah, they somehow, like, make a turn. They get into the subway. And then they're on the Brooklyn Bridge
part of the subway. And then they're on the Brooklyn Bridge. But a train is coming, like, straight for them. And Tito, who is the one driving, somehow gets out of the train track where the train is coming. But then the other guy is just, like, the bad guy. He's just left in the train tracks. And the train just, like, hits
him. Completely collides, yeah.
Face, like, the train doesn't even stop. It doesn't even slow down. It just fucking hits him. There's, like, a big explosion. That man is just... he's big dead. He's not, like, he's dead. It's a little bit too explicit.
Well, I think they needed to do that, because otherwise he definitely would have come after Fagin and company afterwards.
They just straight up needed to kill him.
They had to kill him.
And I think the dogs were in the car, too. So, yeah, the dogs are also dead. His, like,
Doberman. Oh, yeah, DeSoto and Roscoe are both dead.
Yeah, also dead.
Yeah, but Tito is a very good driver.
For a chihuahua.
As a human being, he's better than most humans at driving. Like, he drives up the little, like, rope thing on the bridge, and then he, like, backs up, like, on the scooter. You can see Tito's still driving, because Fagin's in the back trying to, like, get Jenny and Oliver, because I think...
Yeah, he moved to the back to try and, like, reach Jenny.
Yeah, because, like, during the chase scene, Jenny, like, falls out or, like, into the car or something. I don't know. They needed to get Jenny again.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they rescue Jenny. Mr. Sykes is dead, and,
And then it's Jenny's birthday. Apparently, yeah. Jenny's birthday was that day or the day after.
We cut to Jenny's birthday with all the dogs.
All the
are her only friends.
All the dogs
and Fagin,
homeless man, are Jenny's only friends. Yeah. And they all give her really gross gifts.
It's funny.
I like their friendship. I like Fagin and Jenny's friendship. Even though it started with Jenny not knowing what Stranger Danger meant.
Yeah, and she still doesn't, but...
Yeah, she still doesn't. But I still like their friendship. And then we have the funny moment where, like, Tito's teaching Georgette how to, like, Latin dance.
Yeah.
And it's really funny.
Because they're supposed to be in sort of, like, a... Like, Tito's, like, flirting with
her. Well, after he drove like that, Georgette obviously is like, whoa, this man's a hunk.
I think the idea is she sees him dancing. That's when she's like,
No, that's not the idea at all.
Okay. I don't think it's the driving. I think there's one scene in particular...
From before he danced, she was already, like... She was already interested in him. She slowly, little by little, became more interested in him.
Yeah, at the beginning, she's, like, totally against the idea. But by the end, she's, like, into him completely.
Yeah, but little by little, and definitely after the driving, because she's like, save me! But, like, to Tito. And Tito does it. And he saves her, so definitely she's like, oh.
And then at the end of the movie, it's, like, Tito's running away from her because she's trying to, like, dress him up and stuff. It's really funny.
It's very funny.
Good end. Even though Fagin probably smells horrible. Like, they hug. Like, Jenny and Fagin hug, and they're like, oh, I'll miss you, Fagin, or whatever. He probably stinks, like, real bad. But I like their friendship.
I do like their friendship. And then, Fagin's a good guy.
Yeah. And Oliver stays with Jenny, I think, right?
Doesn't she? Yeah. Oliver stays.
Oliver stays, obviously.
Obviously.
And then the other dogs
go back. And the other dogs just go back. To their boat.
Yeah.
Because they live in the streets. And then they sing the same song from the beginning, but instead of, why should I worry? Why should I care? Now we get, why should we worry? Why Joshua Kent.
Well, yeah, because the beginning it's just Dodger, and then the end it's all of the dogs.
All of them.
So, and that's it. That's the movie. Ooh. That's the end of the movie.
It's a good movie.
What is your final ranking for this movie?
I'll give it. Okay, you know what? I really liked this movie before, and I had a good positive view of it before watching it. Then I watched it. I was like, drags a little, but it's like really funny and I really like it. So to me, it's like a good five. It's like a middle of the road. Like, it's not too good, but it's definitely not bad. It's not a bad movie. I like it. It's a 5.5. It's like almost a 6, but not really.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you, Amanda. I think that this movie, if we were giving exact grades, I would give it a 5.5. But since, I don't know, I'm not really doing the point thing, I have to give it a 6. I think it leans towards a 6.
Yeah, I think it leans towards a 6. I think
it leans towards a 6 as opposed to a 5. Because it is middle of the road, but it's better than, like,
it's better than other movies that have been in the middle of the road.
Yeah, like, it's good. It's okay, right? It's not bad. It's better good than it is bad.
Better good.
So, it's better good than it is bad.
It's more
good. It's more gooder. It's great. You know, it's like the music's good, obviously. The characters are pretty endearing. It's funny. It's got heart. It's a good
Billy
plot.
Billy Joel is there.
You know, it's a classic Disney kidnaps a kid scene, you know, plot. So it's not too creative there. And it doesn't really feel like a Disney movie, but it's pretty good. So it's a 6 for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you liked it after not watching it.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Not even knowing what the fuck it was about. That you enjoyed it.
I had no idea what to expect coming in.
This is why I think that you will like Hercules.
Okay. I mean, I know about Hercules.
Yeah, but you're still like, maybe I'll disappoint you by not liking
it. It's true. I am worried that I'll watch,
there is like, no way in hell Aladdin, that you won't like Hercules.
Aladdin or like Hercules or the Lion King and be like, that's, you haven't not seen a 10 Aladdin? Out of 10.
Wait, you haven't seen Aladdin?
It's been a really long time. If I've seen Aladdin, I don't remember.
Have you seen the Lion King?
Again, Aladdin and the Lion King, I think I have seen, but they were...
What movies have you not watched?
Hercules?
Uh-huh.
Of
this, like, you know,
Pocahontas? I don't think I've seen Pocahontas.
Have you seen The Little Mermaid?
I've seen The Little Mermaid.
Okay.
But it, again, a really long time. Like, the only ones that I've seen recently enough to, like, remember them, like Mulan,
Beauty and the Beast.
That's probably it. Like, I don't know. Wow. I think about, like, Golden Age Disney movies and I'm like, I do remember watching them as a child, but I don't remember anything about them. So,
well, The Lion King, it could go both ways, honestly. But Hercules,
we'll see,
again,
man.
There's no way in freaking hell.
Well, I hope you don't get mad if I give it like a 6 or a 7.
You're not gonna give.
You're
Hercules
like, it's
six.
Not. It's not.
I'm
a
just.
10 out of
I'm
10.
Just so sure of it that you won't give Hercules anything below an 8.
Oh, Tarzan! I remember Tarzan too.
You won't give Hercules anything below an 8.
Okay.
And I'm locking this
setting
in right now.
Setting the bar high, man.
Yes, I am setting the bar high because there's no way in hell you won't like Hercules. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited to see
the bet right now is you won't give it anything lower than an 8. And that is being, like, that's still giving you some leeway. Because honestly, I don't think you would give it anything. Like, honestly, I don't think you're going to give it anything less than a 9.
Well, you also,
it's between a 9 and a 10.
You also know how strict of a grader I am.
But I still think it's a 9 out of 10 for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that is remains
so
to be seen.
I'm so excited about Hercules.
We shall see.
It's one of my favorite movies. Anyways.
We shall see.
Anyways.
Okay.
What's next?
Goofy movie!
Woo!
I haven't seen a Goofy movie. I remember and loved watching Extremely Goofy Movie, the sequel, as a kid. I remember everything about that movie. But I don't think I've watched a Goofy movie. I do think I've seen it on, like, Disney XD or something, like, when it was just on. And I've seen a few scenes from the movie. But I don't recall watching the whole thing. So
I will also agree with that. I feel like I had seen some scenes of the movie, but I don't think I had, like, sat down to watch the entire thing before.
Yeah, exactly.
But I loved it. I was so pleasantly surprised by a Goofy movie. It's so funny. I love that movie.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of have to say. It's so freaking funny. Goofy is hilarious. I love Max. He is funny. He is all of us. We've all been Max at one point in our lives.
I'm still Max.
You're still Max, even though you're like
to a degree
significantly older than him.
I mean, I'm like a couple years older than him. Like, he's probably like 17. 4 years 16, older than 17 him. In the movie, maybe.
Yeah, you're like 4 years
I'm older than him. Older than him, sure. But I still definitely see myself in Max a lot.
Yeah. You are definitely still Max, but we've all been Max. We've all been there. We've all, our parents have been goofy. Our parents have been goofy. And it's just, it's so funny. The what's like the universe that this movie takes place in? It's just
the Disney universe. I don't know.
Yeah, the Disney universe, but like the whole like Mickey thing is something that I keep bringing up in this movie because it's so funny how like they make Max is like a loser in school. They make it seem like he's kind of a loser. Not a lot of people care about Max. Not he's a loser. Like I think not.
Maybe
one
he got bullied in middle school. Maybe, but like
I don't think so. I don't even think so. It's just one of those people that like neither people hate nor they care about. He's just like kind of there.
He's a nobody.
He has his two friends. No one gives a shit about Max, but
I really like his friends, too. I really like PJ, and Bobby's really funny. They're, as the, like, stoner dude, or whatever.
I agree.
He's really funny.
They're really, really funny. But, it's just, like, those... he's just a nobody, and the funny thing about that is, like, if you think of, like, the Disney universe, they mention Walt Disney in the movie. Yeah. They mention him by name. They say Walt Disney. Which, if we're going by the rules of our universe, Walt Disney is a huge guy who created Mickey Mouse, this huge personality. Now, we see Mickey, and not only do we see Mickey, Max has a telephone. This is, like, my biggest thing with this movie. Max has a telephone shaped like Mickey.
Mickey has merchandise.
Mickey has merchandise in this universe.
Acclaim. Which means, like, he's a celebrity.
Which implies that Mickey's a celebrity if he has merchandise made out of him.
Which, by the way, I'll say that they mention Mickey Mouse, and I don't know if you caught this, in the extremely goofy movie also. They, like, mention him, like, Bradley, when he's trying to cheat at the end. He's like, hey, look, is it Mickey Mouse? And everyone turns. So Mickey Mouse is this celebrity that everyone is looking for. He's like the Billie Eilish of this universe, okay?
Don't.
Everybody is looking to get a picture with him.
Mickey's Billie Eilish. Well, the Mickey.
Just a celebrity. Yeah, I thought of a Mickey. Celebrity, okay? Mickey is Billie a celebrity. Billie Eilish is a celebrity that people, recognize. No,
just say Mickey is the
He's
Mickey.
He's recognizable.
Mickey is recognizable in our universe. Anyway, so they mentioned Mickey enough. Which is funny, and also, like, when they're talking about going in the camping trip, Goofy says that he's going on a camping trip with, like, his best friend, and Max is like, Donald Duck? So, like, Donald Duck is also part of this. They're all part of this.
Yeah.
So, if Mickey is a celebrity, and there is merch about him, don't you think Max would be more popular, like, because his dad is really good friends with this celebrity?
Yeah, you'd assume.
Because we know Goofy and Mickey are big celebrities.
Yeah.
I mean, not like that.
They're best friends.
They're friends. They're best friends. And Mickey's a huge celebrity. I feel like Max, a lot of people would be behind Max just to, like, be friends with him because they know he has connections with Mickey Mouse.
It's weird.
The Mickey Mouse.
They treat Mickey as if he's, like, a celebrity, and then they act like Goofy isn't friends. Like, they're in the same universe, but they, like, don't know each other or something.
But they definitely do, because they say, oh, who's Goofy's best friend? Donald Duck. And then we see Donald Duck with Mickey.
With Mickey. Yeah.
So they definitely know each other.
Yeah, but he doesn't make any mention to Mickey being, like, his friend or anything. Like, I feel like they should have done something like that, where they mention, like, oh, Mickey's out of town, or, I don't know, something to the effect of, like, Mickey is here. Like, I'm friends with Mickey. We love Mickey. But there's no mention of that at all, so I don't know.
I just think Max should be a lot more popular.
I agree.
Than make him
I think
be.
There should be a lot of leeches trying to get with him because his dad is a celeb. Or at least friends with a celeb.
He's a celebo.
So, yeah. But this movie's great. I'd say from, like, the first 5 minutes or so, I get this, like, musical feeling. And I think you said it yesterday, too.
Gave me Hairspray, like, Good Morning Baltimore vibes.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the movie started, when he was, like, going out of his house, doing that whole musical number. I was like, very much Good Morning Baltimore. Mm-hmm.
And the first song, After Today, is really good.
It's a really good song.
Like, it's kind of a banger. Like,
I really like it.
Yeah. It's really good. Get the musical vibes because, like, there's people joining in with mm-hmm. Max. Like, Max
and then they
is
do,
singing.
Like, a big number.
They do a big number at the end, yeah. So.
But also the song that he sings to, like, impress Roxanne, that's also a banger. Yeah. The song that he's singing in the auditorium of the school.
Yeah, the, like, power line.
Because, you know, the whole idea is that he's gonna, like, ask Roxanne that day. So if it could only be the day after today, so he wouldn't have to go through, like, those jitters, like, anymore. Which, it's a good, it's such a good song. And it's a good message of the song. I like it. I really like it.
Yeah, no, it's really good. Like, the way that he, and also, he can't be a loser if he's, like, doing all this cool, like, he's cool, dude. And, like, he's really cool in the next movie, too. Like, Max should
I think
not
he's
be...
a cool dude in the making. In the X Games movie, we see him fully become his cool dude. Like, he's about to go into college. He's fully perfected his, like, skating abilities for the X Games.
Yeah.
He's, like, but in high school, he's still, like, a cool dude in the making. But he has, like, cool, like, traits to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he's not, like, still, like, one of the cool kids.
Yeah.
But Roxanne definitely thinks he's cool.
Yeah, exactly. But I also want to say that this movie doesn't have to happen, right? I think, and let me explain what I mean by that.
And I disagree with what you're going to say.
They don't need to do, like, everything doesn't have to, like, there doesn't have to be any conflict in this movie unless they just need to talk to each other. This whole movie is just, like, screaming, just, like, talk to each other, like, when I talk to each other, I mean Goofy and Max just need to talk to each other. Because Goofy gets this call from the principal after Max does his little shenanigans, his, like, end of the year, like, I'm Powerline, you know, yeah. thing. And he gets sent to the principal's office, and then the principal calls Goofy at work. Which, by the way, Goofy takes, like, pictures in a mall or something. Or, like takes pictures of kids.
For a living.
And he's perfect.
He's very good at his job.
He's very good at his job.
That is the perfect job for Goofy.
Absolutely. He's great with kids. And it's funny because you see the contrast with, like, Pete is his, like, boss or, like, co-worker, I guess. And he's terrible with kids. So he is very, it's perfect. It's a perfect job for him. He gets a call from the principal, says that, you know, you better, and the principal makes this so dramatic. He's like, you better, you know, get your kid in, you know, get your kid straight before he ends up in the electric chair. And it's like, what the hell?
The principal also calls him Mr. Goof, which I think is really funny.
Yes, he's like, Mr. Goof. And it's like, Goofy also doesn't seem to, like, have a name or, like, a last name until people call him Mr. Goof.
Yeah.
Like, Max is Maximilian
Goof. His name is Goofy Goof.
His name is Goofy Goof.
Goofy Goof.
Which is just hilarious. I think that's awesome. So Goofy is, like, scared for Max, and he's like, all right, I'm gonna take Max on this family vacation. We're gonna go fishing, Lake Destiny. We're gonna have such a good time. And Max just wants to go to this party because they're throwing a party for Powerline, you know, Powerline's concert or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he wants to go with Roxanne, and at this point he's asked Roxanne, and she's like, yeah, I want to go, of course. So he's excited, and then he finds out that he has to go on this trip with his dad. What? And he doesn't, like, tell him. He doesn't tell him, oh, Dad, can we wait with the trip till, like, next week? We could just, like, wait, you know, because I have a date. Because, like, if there's anything that dads want for you, and I know this from experience, it's for you to date someone, right? And maybe that's only true with guys, but...
Yeah, my mom doesn't give a shit if I date.
My dad is very, like, he'll do anything. Like, he'll give me money, he'll do anything. To just, like, make me go out with someone.
But then when you live in an apartment full of girls, he calls you gay.
Well, but that's because I'm not making a move on any of y'all for some reason. I don't know.
What do you mean for some reason?
What are you talking about? He wants me to make a move on a girl. And he's like, oh, you live in an apartment with three girls. Why aren't you doing it? That's what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Right? I don't know what you meant by some reason, but...
Because you said, I'm not making a move on any of you for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like, wait, I should be making a move on some of you.
No,
and I'm like,
No, I'm saying that he thinks he would that say I that. Should have a reason. He's like, why aren't you, like, you're
yeah,
with
yeah. He would say that. Why aren't you making a move on
are you gay, son? Do you not like girls?
Yeah. And then the theater just really doesn't help.
You like theater? You're gay, man. Anyway, so... And the long hair? Anyway. So, yeah, he, like, dads want you to date. So if Max just says, Dad, I have a date with this girl that I really like. Can we please postpone the trip till next week? the whole movie's over.
No, here's why I disagree with you.
Okay.
It's because the reason why Max is not going to do that is because straight up, Goofy gives him the sad eyes. And Max immediately feels so bad for even trying, for even thinking of, like, not going for what his dad says. Like, he's a normal kid. He's embarrassed by his dad, but he still loves his dad. You just get to that age where you don't show it as much as you used to.
Yeah.
You know, but I think he immediately feels guilt for even thinking to disappoint his dad and not going to the fishing trip. So he has to do it.
Well, I think he tries to explain at the beginning, but then Goofy gives him the sad eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
But then he needs to fight through that.
No.
He needs to be like, Dad, I will go on this trip.
No, he has a heart. He's got a compromise. He feels bad for Goofy.
Yeah, but Goofy should...
So he's like, fine, we'll go.
But Goofy isn't listening. Right? That's the problem.
He's giving him the sad eyes.
Well, but...
When he stops to listen...
That's manipulation.
That's not in his eyes.
That's not okay.
He's just sad that his son won't spend time with
him. And that's fair, but also, you just gotta listen to your son, man. I don't know. I get what you're saying, but Max should... They need to communicate better.
There's guilt. Guilt involved.
They need to communicate better, and then this whole movie doesn't have to happen. But they go on the road trip, right? And let me see what else I have.
The road trip is funny. At the beginning, there's this other song.
Another good song.
And that's when we see Mickey and Donald. They're hitchhiking. Which, again, Mickey's a celebrity. He should have a limo.
They just need that cameo somewhere. I don't know. I think they should just... Yeah, they should have had, like, Mickey in a limo or something.
Yeah.
That would have made more sense. But they're hitchhiking.
Mickey and Donald are hitchhiking. And then there's this other, like, fun characters. And they're all singing a song. And it's a really good song. And then we get to our first attraction in the trip, which is...
Lester's, right? The, like, banjo jamboree, like, robot thing? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it's called Lester's.
The place where all the dumb kids
are. Yeah, it's like Lester's opossum, like, we're gonna, you know... It's like Country Bear Jamboree. Remember the Country Bear Jamboree in Disney?
Yes.
Do you know? Okay, so it's like that. It's like Chuck E. Cheese's. But it's like a really rundown country bluegrass Chuck E. Cheese with no arcades or pizza. It's a really bad description. But the idea is that Max isn't feeling it. He's very mad right now that they're going to this stupid kid thing. And Goofy's just having a ball. Goofy's having
the time of his life.
I just want to say, one of my notes just says Goofy is the best.
He really is.
In this movie, he's so funny. And not because, and we'll talk about this more in the sequel... But Goofy is funny because of the situation, and he's just a funny person.
Yeah.
They don't, like, play up how he's goofy. They just let him be goofy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it works. He's so funny. Every time he's on screen, I'm, like, smiling or laughing or both. He's hilarious.
He's so funny.
And he's having a great time listening to Lester, you know, play the banjo or whatever. And Max gets mad and embarrassed, which, by the way, Max gets embarrassed so much throughout this. And I get it. He's supposed to be, like, the angsty teen or whatever with his rock guitar or whatever.
His rock guitar.
But, like, stop getting so embarrassed. You're never going to see these people ever again.
Yeah. When you're at home, in your hometown, like, I get it to a degree.
To an extent, yeah.
But when you're just in a random-ass city where you're never going to see those people again, just do it. Just be embarrassing.
Yeah, just dance a little bit. Who gives a
shit?
Just be like your dad a little bit more. And, like, you know, that's something coming from me. But, like, just be like your dad a little bit more, you know?
Just be a little bit more...
Open to goofy. Having fun, you know?
Just be a little bit goofy.
Yeah, be goofy, right?
Be goofy.
You know? Yeah. So, they get done with that. Max has his whole temper tantrum and... You know, he's like, I don't want to be here. And they're sad or whatever. And then they go camping. Yay, we're camping. So they set up, which, by the way, they drive all day and they don't even go into a hotel. I understand Max's pain a little bit. But he's also not doing anything. Goofy is setting up the tent and doing everything. Max is like, he's pouting. He's spinning a stick in the water.
He just pouts and imagines Roxanne.
Which, you know. I guess that's fair.
Like, the movie starts with just a dream that he had about Roxanne.
Mm-hmm. But just, like, quit your pouting. You're on the trip. You're not going to get off the trip.
Yeah. Just
have
enjoy
fun.
Enjoy it with your father.
Yeah. But then Pete...
ungrateful child.
Yeah. But then Pete and his RV with by the way, Pete's RV has a pool, a bowling alley, and a hot tub.
A basketball court.
And a basketball court, among other things, that just, like, pop out as he, like, puts his RV, sets up his RV over...
Directly over...
Directly on top of Goofy's tiny tent.
Yes.
Which is sad, but funny. So, Pete is there, and he is sort of, like, the antagonist, kind of, in this movie. Other than just,
I don't
like...
He's the anti-Goofy, but I don't think he's the antagonist of the movie.
I shouldn't say antagonist. I should say
he... That's why I also like this movie. Like, there's no antagonist. There's no, like, clear antagonist. It's just a conflict between, like, Max and...
Okay, I shouldn't say he's the antagonist. I'll say he's the instigator.
Yes.
Right? He instigates all the fights that Goofy and
Max
have.
He also instigates the trip to the camping.
He does. Camping trip. He does. Yeah, Pete gives him the idea to go camping. Or fishing or whatever. So, they're fishing, right? There's the perfect cast scene, which I think is funny also, because it's this ridiculous casting motion that they have to do to just, like, cast.
Do the perfect cast.
Do the perfect cast, you know? And then they run into Bigfoot.
Yeah. Right? Bigfoot is in this movie.
Yeah. And so, Pete and PJ, they run away, because, you know, Bigfoot is pretty scary. And now Goofy and his son, Max, are just trapped in the car, right? And there's this whole fun thing where, like, they're sleeping in the car and, you know, Max is hungry. Goofy gets him alphabet soup and, you know, it's very touching, right? You know, there's the whole bit with, like, there's this one part where they're, like, talking about what they spell out of the alphabet soup. And Max is like, hey, bye-bye. And then, like, Goofy's like... You did hi, Dad, or you do I love you, and then it just stops because it's like super awkward.
They're just like getting really fun into it, and there's like hi, Dad, I love you, and then immediately it's just like this sad face, like Goofy gets, he's just like ooh.
He's like, oh, I can't say that, I guess.
It's so straightforward. And no, it's like sad reminiscence of like, he doesn't say I love you anymore, I guess.
Yeah, which is sad.
It just gets so sad, but it's so funny.
Yeah. What else happened? I guess, okay, yeah, he also changes the map, doesn't he?
So, yeah, that's like the big thing in the movie that like, even after they have this cute scene in the car together and like, he spells out hi, Dad, for Goofy in the alphabet soup can.
It's cute.
When they're sleeping, Max wakes up all of a sudden in the middle of the night, and Goofy's just snoring. And he, like, kicks something, and the map just comes flying out of
the glove box,
and he sees where the destination is. And it's very close to L.A., which is where the concert is, the Power Line concert. So he gets this, like, mischievous idea of erasing the path and changing the destination to L.A.
Well, it's also really funny because the map comes out and then the pencil, he gets the idea to change it and then the pencil rolls out.
Yeah, the pencil rolls out onto the map.
As if, like, tempting him to just, like, change the map, do it.
So he does it, but to no point, because right after... The next morning, while they're eating breakfast, Goofy entrusts Max with the map.
And he makes him the navigator.
I will not be looking... He makes, like, this big deal in the diner. He makes a toast. He calls on everyone to just say, from now on, my son here, Maxie, is going to be the navigator for our trip. He says he won't even be looking at the map anymore. Which, you know, now Max has full liberty to guiding Goofy wherever the fuck he wants. So there's this cute little montage of them having fun over and over again to all the fun stops Max is taking them to. And then they go into a fun hotel. Wait, what are you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, that's pretty big from Goofy. To just, like, totally trust Max completely and let him just go wherever and pay for all the stuff that they're doing. It's... pretty big from Goofy, like big dad move, yeah.
But yeah, they're doing that, they're like genuinely having fun with each other. They get to a hotel at the end of the night, and Pete is also there.
Pete's at the same hotel again, or Pete's, motel, it's not even a hotel,
yeah, it's a motel. Pete's at the same place again, And the kids are talking with each other, and Pete keeps telling Goofy to, like, not be fooled by this, like, fun exterior, because Max is definitely, like, tricking him. He doesn't mean it when they're having fun, blah, 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 which is, like, fucked up. What does PJ do to him?
Pete is, like, a terrible father.
He kind of is.
His teaching method is bad. His whole thing is like, Goof, keep him under your thumb, Goof, and it's like, why? Well,
kids gotta respect your Goof.
And Goofy fights back on this, like, you know, because Pete has been doing this the whole movie. He did it the camping thing where he, like, forces him to go fishing, and, you know, Pete, you know, Goofy fights back on this because he trusts his son. And, but then Pete tells him, because Pete overhears...
He's over here, PJ and Max, talking about how Max... Changed the destination of the map. So Pete overhears this, and while Goofy's just, like, soaking up in the hot tub, Pete comes up to him, and he's like, he changed it. If you don't believe me, check the map, Goof. Check the map. And Goofy begrudgingly checks it. Well, he almost checks it on his own terms, but he doesn't.
But then the map opens.
opens again. Just like it did for Max in the scene.
It's a bad glove box. You gotta fix that glove box. Yeah,
it just pops open and the map just rolls out. But the map opens and Goofy realizes that, in fact, he did change the location from their weird camping trip in Idaho to L.A.
Yeah, and Goofy's pissed. Like, he goes to bed in his swimsuit. Like, he doesn't change out of it.
Goofy is pissed.
And the look on his face, he's just, like, not having it at all. And it's the same, like, there's a transition from him on his bed with the same face. The
transitions in this movie are really good.
They're really good.
I will say, I noticed a couple of transitions where, like, they looked really good.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy how they did these, like, actually pretty great transitions.
Yeah. And there's the transition from him in bed, he's, like, pissed off face, to him, like... driving the next morning, and he's still the same pissed off face.
And they're just quiet, so they're quiet in the car, and they're about to come into the junction where on the left is LA, and on the left is California, mm-hmm. and then on the right is Idaho.
Yeah.
And so they're about to come, and Goofy's like, which one should I take? We're about to come into the junction, son. Which one should I take? Should I take the left or the right? And Max is like, because he, like, again... It's the same thing as in the beginning of the movie where he feels this guilt for lying to his father and for not, like, making his father happy for his own content. So he feels bad that he changed it, and he's, like, having this struggle while they're approaching the interjection, and he's, like, having this struggle between, like, do I tell him right or left? Because left I get to go to... Because also, the thing why he really wants to go to the Powerline concert... It's because he told Roxanne that he was going to say that Goofy was friends with Powerline, and he was going to say hi to her from the stage of the Powerline concert. So that is one of the main things. Like, he can look like he lied. He has to be at the Powerline concert to say hi to Roxanne.
Yeah. And he could have left it at, like, I'm just going to be at the Powerline concert.
Yeah, he made up the lie that he was going to be at the Powerline concert first, but then he just, like, what's the word?
The lie escalates very quickly.
Yeah, the lie escalates very quickly. He's for no reason. He's like, he could have just left it.
Yeah, he's like, Roxanne, I'm sorry, I can't go to the party with you because I'm going to be in L.A. at the Powerline concert. And then she's like, oh, really? And he's like, well, yeah, Goofy knows him and they're friends. They used to be in a band together and we're going to be hit the last number with him. And it's like, why? You could have just left it.
Yeah.
I'm not advocating for, like, lying, but, like, know when to stop. Like, you could have just left it at, we're going to be at the Powerline concert, and that's why I can't go with you. But he just doesn't leave it be. And now he has to be at the Powerline concert.
Because if not, then Roxanne will know he lied, and she won't like him anymore.
And his life will be over.
So then they just keep driving. At the end, very close to the interjection, Max says, take left, which is California. And then Goofy gets so mad. He stops the car. He's like, you lied to me. Well, he has this, like, I'm forgetting words.
What are you talking about? This moment of, he has to get out of the car. He needs some air.
He's like,
he needs some fresh air.
Yeah.
Right? He gets out of the car. He's, like, pissed. Max is like, what's wrong or whatever. And as they're arguing about it, the car starts to roll away, which I'll say, how do you not put the car in park? Like,
come on, man. How does it even happen? So the car starts rolling away down, and they're like on a cliff, by the way. Bless you.
Thanks.
They're on a cliff, by the way. So the car starts rolling down, and it's this whole comical thing, and they fall into the river. Just to point it bluntly, the car and them, they all fall in the river with the car.
Yep, they do, they do.
So now they're just floating down the river on their car, and they have another father-son moment of, like, they both tell each other...
But there's a song, another song in there.
The way that they do it is they, like...
also a really good song.
It's another really good song. It's like, what's the name of it? It's like, you know, at the end of the day, we're, you know, you're my dad. I'm, you're my son or whatever. You know, they do that thing. And it's a good song.
You are my dad. You're my dad. Oogie, woogie, woogie.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that, but like, it's, you know, in the same vein, right?
You know what I'm thinking? You know what I'm singing?
I don't remember the exact reference, but I do know what you're...
It's a vine.
Oh, it is a vine.
You are my dad. You're my dad. Oogie, woogie, woogie.
So that happens. And then they finally, like... tell each other why, you know, Max finally does what I told him you that he should have done in the first minute of the movie. He tells his dad that he wants to go to the concert because Roxanne, you know, he wants to date Roxanne.
Of course. Roxanne's hot.
Yeah. And so Goofy gets that and he's like, oh, son, I wish you would have told me this, you know. But they apologize to each other and then they get to a waterfall. And, yeah, let's say that the car gets... You are my dad. You're my dad. Woogie, woogie, woogie. They get to a waterfall and... Oh my God. Let me know when I can start again.
They get to the waterfall.
And the car falls off the waterfall. They almost die, by the way, falling off this waterfall.
Yeah, but, both of them at different times.
But Max and Goofy save each other?
Sometimes? I don't know. Max gets tangled in some sort of makeshift parachute.
Yeah, Goofy.
And then Goofy just falls to his death. But Max is able to, like, do the perfect cast. And he... grabs Goofy.
He reels Goofy up.
He reels him up, even though I feel like they should both be falling, because I don't think that makeshift parachute is just gonna hold them both up, floating in the air.
Just go with it, okay?
And that still, even though that does not work at all, that still is not the most upsetting thing in this movie. That just doesn't work. Because...
Well, the fact that they get the car back.
They get the car back somehow. At the end of the movie. That car, that fell down this waterfall, somehow at the end scene of the movie is being driven back into their house, which is like, not only did it fall, not only did they get it, they also drove it half across the country back into their home,
which is absurd. And I guess it's for the laugh, because the car also breaks down and like starts falling apart, but it's like a laugh of like, this doesn't make any sense.
This really makes no sense.
It would have made more sense if they'd, like, returned in a cab, but then there would have been any laugh, so that's the whole idea. But they get to the concert on time without a car. Or maybe I guess they do have the car.
Yeah.
They get to the concert, and they sort of yada yada the whole thing of, like, they're hiding in, like, music cases.
Yes.
Like, Goofy is in a guitar case, and Max is in, like, a drum case. Somehow
they just somehow make it there. We are never shown how they do that. Goofy just says, we're gonna do it, we're gonna make it to the concert, and then they're there.
Yeah,
and we never know how that happens.
And I'd also like to say that Powerline security, first of all, Powerline is just Michael Jackson.
Yes,
right. Second of all, Powerline security is terrible, because they let Max, they're a joke, they let Max and Goofy on stage. They're, like, chasing him around comically and, like... But they make it there, on stage, with Powerline. Like, how many other people could just run on the stage and just join Powerline? And Powerline...
Apparently a lot of people.
Yeah.
Even Goofies.
Yeah, and Powerline is okay with it. Like, thankfully.
Yeah, Powerline's also okay with it. He just, like, keeps singing, keeps dancing, and they
maybe
dance together.
Maybe he's just scared. Maybe he's like, this is an attack and I need to just keep dancing.
Yeah.
Or they're gonna kill me. So... He gets there, and they do the dance. Another good song, by the way. I don't remember what it is, but Powerline is another good song. And then
yes, sir. They're all good songs.
And then it cuts to
them getting back
them
to
getting back in their
It cuts to you know car. Roxanne knowing that Max actually made it on stage.
Yeah, she sees Roxanne on the stage on TV.
She sees Max on stage on TV.
That's what I said. Oh, did I say Roxanne?
Yes.
She sees herself on stage. No,
she's both at the party and on stage.
Yeah, she sees Max at the party.
Yes.
At the on stage.
Fuck. Yeah. Good job.
Just take it, okay?
Roxanne sees Max on the stage dancing with Powerline, and then cut to Max and Goofy get back home. Max goes straight to Roxanne's home. He tells her the truth. He says that he lied, but, you know, they still made it on stage somehow. Roxanne's like, okay, whatever, I guess I can overlook, like, let's go on a date. Max is like, no, I need to hang out with my dad, because my dad's pretty fucking cool. Good that you finally realized. And then that's it, that's the end of the movie. Goofy somehow gets, like, shot into the air. He does the Goofy sound.
Well, because the car explodes.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And Goofy just gets shot up into the air, breaks through Roxanne's, like, front porch roof. And he says, let me introduce you to my dad. This is Goofy. And movie ends in this very, like, 90s, like, end credits.
You're waiting for the freeze frame. They're jumping up in the air.
Yeah.
And we all put our hands up and the song Don't You Forget About Me starts
Don't
playing.
Don't you forget about me.
But yeah, that's it. That's the movie. It's great.
It's a really good movie.
It's a really good movie.
I really enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies that I don't think I had ever watched before, but I really liked it.
Absolutely.
And I like these movies where, like, there's not a clear, like, human villain. Mm-hmm. I like movies that are like that, which is what... It has a Pixar movie feel to it. Because
mm-hmm.
It is the Pixar thing of, like, making movies without a clear villain, where, like, the villains are the situations and, like... The villains are themselves, or, like, the situations that they're in, or, like, feelings rather than people mm-hmm. are villains.
Yeah.
And this movie gives me that feel. There's not a clear villain. There's not, like, a human villain that's standing there in his villainous... looks.
Yeah.
No, it's the situation, and it's just, like, relationship between father and son that so many of us have to go through, I guess.
It's more complex than just, you know, let's defeat this supervillain yep. or whatever. It's very good. It's like the plot has a lot of, you know, heartfelt moments and
hilarious.
It's
moments.
So funny. Goofy is so funny. I don't know if I've emphasized it enough.
He's so funny.
He's really funny. And yeah.
It's a 9 out of 10.
I'm going to give it an 8.
I'm going to give it a 9.
Okay.
Because I don't think I've enjoyed a movie this much since we started watching all of these movies. This is the highest score that I've given a movie.
Yeah, I'd say...
I think this is the one that I've enjoyed the most.
In terms of comedy, it's definitely like a 10 out of 10. But I think overall it's an 8 for me.
I don't think any part of it is like... I don't know. I don't think there's any parts of it that make me like...
Like, it drags or, like, it takes away from your score? Yeah, I don't know. I just think 8 is where I'll stand. I don't think there's any reason for me to go any higher, but it definitely doesn't deserve anything lower than a 7, probably. So, it's an 8 for me.
It's a 9. It's pretty good. Okay. I love this movie. I'll rewatch it.
Would recommend.
It's a new favorite of mine, and I'm happy that I watched it. Yeah. I'm happy that I found this jewel.
Absolutely.
Amongst all the other trash that we've been watching.
A new Disney classic. I would say.
And it did come out during the classic era.
And it did. It started the golden age.
It came out in 1995. It was in the middle.
It wasn't the golden age.
It was in the dead middle of the golden age. No wonder it has so much good music.
Makes sense. So there you go.
But yeah, just.
Round of applause.
Clap it up for the Goofy movie.
For the Goofy movie, which I thought was going to be campy. No pun intended. But like I thought it was going to be like, again, I can't, like, Goofy, obviously. I thought it was going to be kind of silly.
But it's not.
It's silly in a good way. Like, it's really good.
Silly, yeah, you're right. It's silly in a good way.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it.
Got nothing else to say about
Oliver
it.
Oliver and Company, just Goofy movie.
Oliver and Company, Goofy movie. Pretty good in the middle, pretty good up top.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at least it's not two bad movies in one episode. At least we watched
two pretty good movies.
Two pretty good movies.
Absolutely.
And that's it. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I'm, like, now that we're watching better movies, I'm running out of creative ways to end this.
Yeah, you just say bye, you know.
Okay, bye.